There are many dangers facing our church today, our churches today, and some are without and some are within. And it's amazing we have dangers from without. We have a culture that is godless around us. Is that right? Pulling everything away from God. It's destroying our homes. Our homes are in disarray. There is no respect. There's selfishness. There's divorce. There's kids ruling. Nobody's seriously training their kids to know, love, fear, obey, serve, and worship and enjoy God. Is that a problem in our day? It's a problem. I trust you say, as for me and my house, what? We're going to serve the Lord. There's also the gender issue that's going on. Gender identity, transgender identity is normalizing. That's terrible. Just everybody is struggling and it's terrible. We have the homosexual agenda. We have abortion. We have these issues from without. We have a moving of our culture and our civilization from transitioning to a secular age, from some Christian to all secular. And it's getting aggressive. You know, it used to be something that they would call us old-fashioned, but they're getting more aggressive all the time. And Christianity is unacceptable today. And it's just one of many religions today. And we're losing there. Also, there is a rise of science coming in, and the public is trusting more science, facts, and religion is an influence that is not regarded as valuable, and the trying to express absolute truth today is unaccepted today in our culture, and it's terrible. This book is absolute truth, and that's so important, and they just want it to be, well, that's personal. That is something, religion is something that you determine for yourself, and we are to keep quiet in the public square, and it's just all about you. With that, there is expressive individualism, a term that's being flowed around today, and this just a desire to pursue our own path, fully asserting that who we are and the capability of individuals to define the terms of their own existence with or without God. You know, I'm going to determine my own life. Nobody is going. I'm going to see who I am are within, and I am not interested with what's upward at all. They're not going to show me that there's something bigger than me, more powerful than me. Humans are the highest, and they resist anything that stifles their self-defined freedoms. The Bible used to be the chief end of religion is to glorify God. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Now, expressive individualism says the chief end of religion is to glorify man so he can enjoy himself forever. That's our day. That's what we're here. Christianity is just old-fashioned. I want you to know this book is for us today. It's for your home. It's for your work. It's for your private life. It's truth. And that's not being accepted. Also, we're seeing a decline of public trust in our day with all the scandals, all the religious scandals going on. Does anybody trust anything? Huh? And we're seeing, well, you know, with all the clergy things going on, with all the clergy having airplanes and everything, and it's a mess what's going on today. There's so much hypocrisy there. That's without. A lot of dangers. Within are dangers. There's division within. There is a thing called churchanity. That's where if you just pray a little prayer and you get baptized and attend and you give or tithe and you're in. And there's no passion. There's no compassion. There's no sacrifice. There's no commitment. You're just comfortable. Complacency. Is that true? we don't realize that God is alive and functioning, and we need to realize He's there. And it's just not just little stuff. It's God. It's real. We can't be passive about it. We have to be passionate about it. Also, the cares of the world. Doesn't it eat us alive sometimes? All the cares, all the choices, all the stuff. You know, you go to the grocery store and you used to have sugar pops and corn flakes, and now you have 10, 20 times. You have all kinds of different kinds of corn flakes. You know, my wife tells me to go to the store and get this. I got to ask her all kinds of questions, because when I get there, there's 20 choices of the same thing. I'm sitting there going, and you know. But we're too busy. We have sports and hobbies and relaxation and entertainment. Church that used to be the center of people's lives, and God has to revolve around so many other things today. It used to be that we had a church family, and that families resolve around the Bible and the church. Now church is just an add-on a little bit, and the families are involved in everything else and pulling us away. Christianity has become something from within, where the teachings of God are not the absolute truths. We've allowed therapy, and we've allowed psychology, and we've allowed people coming in with self-help and all that kind of stuff, and all feel-good preaching. And Christianity is laid aside. We have everything is now. Everything is best life now. Everything is what is successful. How do I get bigger? That guy everybody's decisions. And Christianity, trusting in the Word of God, that the Word of God is what you lean, not to your own understanding. Is that right? Lean to the Lord. And then it says our own ideas about what works and what's relevant is more important than what the Bible says works and is relevant. And we have a lot of problems from within the church today as we see all of that. And we got to say, God help us. God help us. Pastor Kyle's been preaching the last two Sundays on 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 to 31. Everybody turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. I just wanted you to see what's going on in our day, because the cross of Christ must be paramount. Is that right? The cross. That's all that the preacher is supposed to preach, is the cross, Jesus and Him crucified. And we're having so much psychotherapy going on, and psychology, and all this feel good and self-help, that people aren't declaring, "Thus saith the Lord." And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm just reading it. Pastor Kyle's been in it the last two Sundays. It says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize." That's important, but not most important. Doesn't take you to heaven. It's an obedience. "But to preach the gospel, the good news, the cross, Christ crucified, not with words of eloquent wisdom, not with clever speech." We have a problem today that our preacher college, whatever they are producing slick talkers, smooth talkers, instead of truth tellers. And we're seeing that all over the place, and it's self-help, psychology, and therapy, and feel good, instead of "thus saith the Lord." And it says, "Lest the cross of Christ is emptied of its power." I do believe that the pushing of the therapy and the psychology from our pulpits today is losing the power of the gospel. And we need to get back to the power of the gospel. Verse 18, "For the words of the cross is folly to those that are perishing," foolishness, "but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written," quoting here from Isaiah 29, verse 14, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning will I thwart." It says, verse 20, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debaters of this age? Has not God made foolishness the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the foolishness of what we preach, the cross, to save those who believe. We need to get back to Bible preaching pastors. and churches. And it's the cross there. It's not the wisdom. It's not the creativity of our worldly thinking that we tell them how to rear their kids and everything. No, the Bible tells us how to do all of that. And we must stick close to the Bible is our problem. And it says, verse 22, for the Jews demand signs and the Greeks wisdom. They want to have power signs. They want to have miracles. And the Greeks, the Gentiles are wanting wisdom, more intellectual. What's in it for me? Pleasure, success. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified. That's what we're to be preaching. The cross, the salvation, the truth of Jesus. The Bible has the answer for your home, your children, how you do business, how you run your business, how you go to work, how you are at work, how you deal with your neighbors, how you play sports, everything. And it says, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews. If people don't trust the Bible, they're going to fall away from it today. They don't like it. And we got to realize that's going to happen. And I wish that people would respond. But if Christ crucified doesn't save them, no slick talking's going to do it. And I'm fearful what's happening. It says, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly, just foolishness. That's not reasonable. Is it reasonable that a man, that a God came to earth as a man, lived as a man, a perfect man, died a death that he shouldn't have died for somebody else's sins and was buried, he really died, and then he rose again and he lives today and he went to heaven and he's coming back. Now, is that logical? No, that's foolishness. But that's the book. That's the saving gospel. That's the cross. And whether it makes sense to our culture or not, truth is truth. And we're moving away from what truth is, and we're redefining it with what culture wants to hear. And it's the greatest danger of our churches today. And it says, verse 24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. It's all the power, all the signs, all the wisdom. It's enough. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Pastor Kyle answered that last week. It's not saying that God is foolish or weak. It's just saying, when man thinks he's stronger than God, he's going to hear that even at his strongest point, if God could be weak, he would be stronger. And that's very important to understand that. Verse 26, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many were wise according to worldly standards, earthly standards, man's standards. Not many were powerful, influential in their day. Not many were noble of birth, kings. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low to despise and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Verse 28, let me read it in the New Living. It says, God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considered important. And it's very important that we understand that the world's view of religion, we can't talk about that. It's God's view of the world. And truth must be paramount. Verse 29, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Verse 30, and because of Him, God, you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, the true light to true salvation. And then he defines it, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. It's all about Him. He made us right. He made us pure and holy. He freed us from our sins, so that, as it is written, let the one who boast in the Lord. It's all about Jesus. All the dangers from without, all the dangers from within. We have a problem today, and the greatest danger, put the next slide up, the greatest danger, everybody look at this, the greatest danger facing God's church today is professing, catch this, professing Bible preachers, they claim to be Bible preachers, okay, that preach more about self-help and feel-good therapy than they preach, thus saith the Lord. And it's all over television. It's all over our day. Liberalism is just creeping in. And it's just sad to see that happen. We must have Bible preachers in our pulpits today. And it's exciting to have Pastor Kyle, who is a Bible preacher, in our pulpits today. And that's a thrill there. I'm going to ask our man to come up and read Titus. Everybody turn to Titus chapter 1. We're reading verses 5 to 11. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 to 11. The qualifications of a preacher. Very important. Come and read it for us, brother.
If you're looking for that, that's after 2 Timothy, very small book. Red Pew Bibles, it's 881. While you're looking at that, keep in mind, we were talking about prayer. Our elders, there's so many of them here, they need our prayer. They have such strict requirements to be an elder. That's what this is talking about. It's tough. And they're being bombarded out in the world, sometimes their family. Pray for them, lift them up. 1 Titus chapter 1, 5 through 11. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband but of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert the whole household, teaching things that ought not, and for the sake of dishonest gain. Thank you.
The ushers are going to be passing out a paper here, and I wanted y'all to read this. This is a paper that I've gotten off of the Gospel Coalition, and it's entitled "The Greatest Danger Facing God's Church Today," and it is preachers that are not preaching from the Bible, thus saith the Lord, and it's very, very important. Bible-less preachers, put up the next slide. Bible-less preachers, I don't know if you can see it there, the dumpster in front. Put the next one up. Very close, it says, parking for clergy. Okay? That's a good sign there. If a person isn't a Bible preacher, they need to be thrown into the trash. We have no room, because that is the greatest thing destroying our churches today, is to have Bible-less preachers that do not fit the Titus chapter 1 passage of being a pastor. And that is just sad today, because there is so much selfism being disguised as Christianity today. It's almost like Jesus exists to help our middle class American dreams live together, you know, to help them them. It's as if Jesus revolves around us and our purposes, whereas the biblical gospel is clear about us centering our lives on Jesus and His redemptive purposes for humanity. It's got everything switched around. We need to have Bible preachers, true Bible preachers, and not all of this psychology and feel-good therapies going on in our day. And this is what this paper says. Everybody look at it. I didn't want to give it to you to right now, because you would be reading it. And now I want you to read it, okay? It's an excellent paper. You will not get through everything. But it is very, very important that you just grasp it there. And it tells what the danger is. I've already told you about the first half of the page. I'm down at about the half of the page where the end of the third paragraph, where it just says, don't lean on your own understanding there in the black. And it says, or on our ideas about what works in church and religion and what's relevant. Today the word relevant is thrown around. What's relevant? I want you to know the Bible is relevant. It works. Well, people don't like it. Well, the Jews sought for signs, and that was a stumbling block to them. And the Gentiles sought for wisdom, and it was offensive and didn't make sense. It was nonsense to them. But to us who are called, it's the power of God. And that's so important. Well, people won't believe. I got to change the story a little bit. I want you to know the story of Jesus crucified works. And we don't need to change that. And in our day, we have a lot of Bible preachers changing all of those things just to be slick, just to be smooth, make it more acceptable. I want you to know, saving people is God's business, and He doesn't need any help. He's the Savior. And sometimes church today has been redefined that we got to creatively sneak around and try to trick people into believing. No! And we get less Bible and less Bible. And this says this, the red right in the middle of the page, pastors who preach a self-help, feel-good therapy do not present biblical Christianity. Is that pretty plain? And it is everything. They don't think it's relevant. Right in the middle of that, it says, they don't think it's relevant. They promote the American religion of self-help and therapeutic pop psychology, and they ought to honestly say, we don't believe the Bible is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, quoted from 2 Timothy 3:16. And it's just so important that the Bible is all that is needed there, and we need to preach the Bible strongly. It's relevant. We don't need all of the marketing and corporate world to tell us how to win people for Jesus. And there's a lot of churches that are listening to the marketing and the corporate world trying to figure out how to build a church. We need the truth of the Bible and Jesus. And that is so, so important. The danger right at the bottom. How to avoid the danger. We've done that. We need to get a man that is qualified biblically for the office of elder and pastor. And that is very, very important that we have that and realize that God wants us to do that. And number two, it says that he's apt to teach, that he's apt to preach. And that is so important that he's a Bible preacher. And he trusts the Word of God, and he teaches us and instructs us. Number three, it says, you need to find out if this guy is a real Bible preacher. A under that, is he a textual preacher? Does he preach the text? We have TV preachers that hold up the Bible and says, this is the Word of God from cover to cover. Then they lay the Bible down and don't open it again the rest of their talk. That's wrong. And we need a Bible preacher that follows a text and preaches from the Bible. B, look at these. These are so good down through here. This is the back of the page. Back of the page, number 3B. It says, does God rest heavily upon this man? Is it evident that he fears God? Can you tell that he knows that teachers will be judged more strictly? Does it say that in James chapter 3, verse 1? Yeah, it does. Does he tremble at the Word of God? Is the Word of God like a burning in his bones that he cannot hold it in? We have a man like that. It's called Pastor Kyle. And that's a blessing. Then it says, number C, it says, does he think that his main task is to explain the Bible, or does he have to make it more relevant, put man-made wisdom into it? No, we need to preach the Bible. Number D, it says, is the man going to help the church understand and live the great truths of Christianity? That's very important. Go into history and see what God has done and the great truths of the Bible. E, is the man a theologian? Is he just a gifted speaker with a good heart? We have Pastor Kyle, and he is a theologian. If you've not talked to him, you'll know very quickly. And it's amazing there. F there, it says, you must trust this man's ability to interpret the Bible and tell you what it means. That's the heartbeat of his heart. And that's a thrill. Number four in his pastoral ministries. The pastor ministries has to be into ministry. People. Then it has to be all about the Word, the Bible. And then it has to be all about prayer. Is that right? That's the church. And that is a must. And that's being missed today. When you've got it all figured out, how to grow a church and how to build it with feel good and self-help therapy, you start praying less and less and less. You're not dependent on God. You have marketing tactics. You have corporate tactics. And it's working. And you don't need God. I want you to know we need God to save people. I can't save people. I can't make a person come to church. God's got to change their heart. And truth does that. And if we stoop to go to all kinds of psychology and everything, we miss the truth. And you got to win them with truth, not just good talk. And that is so important today. And we're seeing that happen. And that's wrong. B under 4, it says, a pastoral ministry about the power of the Spirit of God through the Word of God. Not just persuasive speech or slick presentations or smooth talkers. You know, this is not good. And that's terrible. And used to be we'd go to school. When I went to school, they taught me how to study the Bible and to know the Bible and doctrine and truth. They did not teach me how to manipulate and move and smooth talk a congregation to get them to do what I wanted them to do. You would be amazed how much stage presence is being taught kids today. More than the Bible. The Bible, they're not coming out being Bible people. They're coming out being entertainers or people that can manipulate and move congregations. And let me tell you, people can be manipulated and moved. Okay? I went to a Dino concert one time. How many know who I'm talking about? Dino plays the piano. Ron Lee enjoyed it very much. I appreciated him so much because he said, number one, I want to tell you, I'm very talented. And he was very talented. He says, number two, I'm a Christian, okay? Now we're going to have a lot of fun, but it's going to be Christian, it's going to be clean. And he says, this is not church. He says, this is a concert. And he says, you're going to feel good about everything and we're going to have mostly fun, but he says, this is not church. And I appreciated that, because most concerts you go to today, they call it church. Let's have church, and then they go crazy. And you're sitting there going, no, truth. I remember the day when First Baptist had Steve Green as a concert. And I went over to First Baptist for the Steve Green concert. He quoted 100 Bible verses during that concert. And I'm sitting there going, I like that. The Bible. It's not music, it's the Bible. And we got to realize that the truth sets you free. The truth saves you. And it's very not just slick talk, not just smooth talk. It's got to be the Bible. C, 4C, it says the Great Commission must be paramount. Evangelism, discipleship making. That's what it's all about. D, and church discipline. This is placed in there. If something's wrong in the church biblically, must we correct it or must we get rid of it? Yes. We've not done that much in our church, but when wrong happens, we deal with it. You can't allow wrong to stay there. And when somebody's in sin, I sweetly talk to them, and it's wonderful to see them repent. Is that right? To repent. But we just can't let them keep living that way. It's wrong. And doctrine, it's wrong. It's wrong. And it must be dealt with. And church discipline's told how to do it in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 18. And most churches are not taking that serious. And a Bible preacher takes that serious. 4E is he's all about the one another's of the Bible, that we love one another. I have written all here. This wasn't in here, but I added all the one another's. That's not all of them, but that's a lot of them. I thought that would give you enough to figure out what the one another's are. Love what? One another. Be kind to what? One another. Build up what? One another. Those are the one another's. And a preacher must be all about that, because that's the reality of a church, is us blessing one another. And then F down there, that he maintains his ministry of prayer, of teaching, of shepherding. Have you ever heard Pastor Kyle pray? Do you think he really prays hard? Yeah, he does. He prays deep. He prays theology. When he prays, you're going to hear from heaven. We need a praying man. We need a man that is a teacher and a shepherd and takes care of people to learn these things. And I'm thrilled with him. It says in Titus chapter 1, verse 6, that his wife must be godly. Have you ever heard her give counsel? Some of our singles and teenage girls get counsel from her. She gives very biblical counsel. I mean, if you listened to her, you would be, wow, how you know all that? Where'd you get all that wisdom? Where'd you get all of that? And to realize that she came from a good home, and she came from studying the scriptures, and she's amazing. She's not perfect by no means. She married Pastor Kyle. Okay. Also, have you seen how they rear Everly? Everly is like, how old is Everly? One and a half, something like that, huh? What? 13 months, okay. I'm amazed when I'm around them and Everly, how that they make her mind. Does she have the sin nature starting the show in her life? Yeah. She's related to Pastor Kyle and Julia. Okay. And it's there. And I've never seen a couple that really, you know, don't do that. And she'll look at him like every kid does. And Pastor Kyle will give her the bad look. And she'll go. Does the Bible say their children must not be in debauchery and all that? You know, let's keep Everly out of all that stuff. And but our children and how they rear their children, is that pretty important? Very important. Very important. And it's a blessing to see that and to realize, wow. The next little paragraph right before we're done with this paper talks about how there's sheep, there's wolves coming in, false prophets coming in amongst the sheep and devouring them. And then it says fruits. You'll know them by their fruits. And the last three lines there, I give rotten fruit. Please catch that, because these are the mannerisms of a false prophet. These are mannerisms of a Bible-less preacher. These are his fruits, okay? Like outburst of anger. That's unacceptable. Lack of accountability. That's getting a lot of preachers in trouble today. A desire for more earthly things. That's getting a lot of preachers in trouble today. And it says, the air of superiority. Being self-absorbed. A better talker than a listener. Is that a problem? And it says, being success-driven or allowing people to treat him as a celebrity or superstar. Are you seeing preachers being treated as celebrities and superstars today? Yes, it's terrible. That is unacceptable. And our calling is in the last paragraph down there, is to be under shepherds, under Christ. And we're to take care of the sheep and lead them into their crosses and through their crosses and to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And we are to love them, teach them, disciple them, evangelize them, pray for them, protect them. We are to feed the sheep. Is that right? And that's the most important thing, because that's the greatest danger that we have, is that preachers, too many profess. They aren't. They profess to be Bible preachers, act like a little bit, but they're more about self-help and good feeling good therapy than they are about thus saith the Lord. And I'm glad we have a preacher called Thus Saith the Lord. And that is a thrill. Jeremiah 3:15. Look at it here, Jeremiah 3:15. Everybody turn to Ezekiel chapter 34, and I'm closing. Jeremiah 3:15, it says, "And I will give you pastors." Some translations are shepherds, but shepherds and pastors are equal there. "According to my heart," they have me in mind, not them. They have truth in mind, not themselves. They're man-made truth. "Which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." That's what we need. That's what a preacher should be. Is that right? That's a Bible preacher. And that is a great text there in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. All the texts that I've used this morning are on the back of your bulletin. So if you want to relate to all of them, there's one more there. But all of these texts are on there so you can read and praise God for a Bible preacher. Amen? Very important. But in Ezekiel chapter 34, look what God says. Ezekiel 34 verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came unto me," to Ezekiel, "son of man, prophesy against the shepherds," the pastors, the spiritual leaders of Israel. "Prophesy and say to them," even to the shepherds, "thus saith the Lord God, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep?" Verse 3. "You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you are at the fatted ones, and you do not feed the sheep. The weak you do not strengthen, the sick you do not heal, the injured you do not bound up, the strayed you do not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." That's terrible. Is that right? God doesn't like those shepherds, those preachers. Verse 7, look at verse 7. "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord." Jump down to verse 10. "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against the shepherds." The greatest problem in our churches today is having Bible-less preachers. The seminaries and the colleges are putting out more slick talkers than Bible preachers. And that is the greatest danger. It destroys a church. And I am so glad that God, in His infinite wisdom, has given us a man that is a Bible preacher. And it's a miracle. Huh? It's a miracle. And I'm thrilled there. Amos chapter 8, verse 11, and I close. Look at this verse. Everybody look at it. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread and a thirst for water," here it is, "but of hearing the word of God." Do we have a famine, a spiritual famine, a Bible famine in America today? Yes. The worst problem is that the seminaries and the Bible colleges go down first. And then the second issue, the Bible preachers go down. Okay? And then the Bible churches go down. Does that make sense? That's the declining. And it's happening in our culture, something terribly. And there's a famine in the day. We have biblically illiterate people in our churches today. It's sad. Sad. That's why we encourage you to be Bible readers. Is that right? Well, that's your job, preacher. No, it's your job. You should be a Bible person. Oh, wow. Just start reading. Give it time. There's stuff on the internet and Bible apps all over the place. We have more things to teach us the Bible today than ever before, and we're the most illiterate from the Bible. Because it takes work. It takes effort. It takes discipline. It takes turning off some other stuff and turning on the Bible. And we must be Bible people. But the greatest problem, the greatest problem, the greatest danger is having a Bible-less preacher, pastor, or church. And it's happening across America greatly. And we need to thank God that God has given us a man that will keep our church a Bible church. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for truth. Lord, we pray for churches that are struggling in this area, that are more self-help oriented and feel-good oriented, more psychology and less Bible. Lord, we pray that they will realize the error of their way and realize the Bible is sufficient and it has all the answers for homes and all the answers for work, all the answers for making money, all the answers for treating our neighbors, raising our kids. It's sufficient. It's enough. And Lord, thank you for our Bible preacher. And Lord, thank you for truth. Thank you for our Sunday school teachers that are Bible teachers. Thank you for our Wednesday night teachers and helpers that are Bible teachers. Thank you for our junior church Bible teachers and helpers. Lord, our weekday things, our Saturday events, our children events, our teens events. Lord, it's about Jesus and Him crucified according to the Word of God because we're biblical Christians. And Lord, help us to always stay that. And Lord, help us never to get over it because the cross is what it's all about. And Lord, help us to have the cross as the center of our church, the center of our Sunday school, the center of our homes, the center of our lives. Lord, bring us to a total absorption and saturation with Christ and Him crucified on the cross. That saves us from all of our sins and just gives us life everlasting and abundantly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.